Good evening. It's been a good day, a really good day. One filled with joy and one filled with hope, one filled with love for one another. That makes for a priceless day. Sure proud of Sean and Penny. Good to have the lads with us in the worship tonight again. There's friends of ours from California. Been friends for a long, long time. Have other people visiting. We're glad you're here. Some other people are seeing cancer treatments, and we need to remember them in our prayers. Good to have Ryan with us. I always despair of making introductions. I've had all kinds of introductions made of me when I was preaching meetings all over the country. Young preacher one time got up and said, "We're glad to have Brother Bowman with us. This is the first night of the meeting. We just hope he gets better and better as you go along." He didn't understand why everybody laughed. I've had dozens of those kind of things. It's good to be with you. I had a good meeting in Beaumont this morning. That's a good church. And I enjoyed those people. If we were to restore New Testament Christianity, we must restore all of it, not just part of it. I'm amazed at people who call themselves religious today, who have departed so far from the scriptures, scriptures that came inspired of God and were spoken by God's prophets, his servants, his apostles, Jesus Christ. They add to it, they take from it, they magnify parts of it that are not magnifiable, make all kinds of adjustments. We have to restore New Testament Christianity by restoring its commands, restore its precepts. They must be restored. We restore its attitudes, the attitudes that are assigned in the book. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. We have to install as we go along the forms of work that are talked about in the New Testament. The fact of the matter is the church was a very special thing to God. And it had a special relationship to the world. It brought something. But it's not what we see in the world today. We need to restore it to its original design, its original work, its original place in God's plan. We live in an age where various ideas are being recommended as acceptable to the forgiveness of sins. This is just one area. Forgiveness of sins. They're doing all kinds of things with it. There's the mourner's beach. The mourner's beach. You come forward, and if you cry, you'll be saved. There is the come to Christ with all your heart concept. Accept Christ as your personal Savior concept. Just have faith in that alone, you'll be saved. None of those things are found in the scriptures, and yet they're used with impunity all the time. It's amazing to me. So today, this evening, I'd like you to notice an approved case of conversion. Listen how I said that. This is an approved case of conversion, written in the book of God from chapter 8, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Begin reading within chapter 8, verse 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go down toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to them, and heard him read from the prophet Isaiah. And he said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to his slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life was taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said unto him, I pray thee, Of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This is an approved example of what conversion is, a beautiful one. This eunuch is going, he's an officer in the court of the Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He's been to Jerusalem, and he's coming back. I want you to look at some things that did not save the eunuch, first of all. Let me say it again. Here are some things that did not save the eunuch. First of all, the fact that he was a religious man did not save him. Look at the passage, verse 27. He had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and yet he wasn't saved. In Philippians 3, in chapter 3, in verses 4 and following, "Though I might have confidence in the flesh," Paul says, "if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he entrusts in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Jesus Christ." Fact of the matter is, Paul was not saved by any of those things. Read Acts 22. Read how he was saved according to the scriptures. The Ethiopian was not saved just for his religion. Just because you're religious doesn't mean you're going to be saved. We need to understand that that's the case. The fact that he was sincere didn't save him. He was a sincere person. When asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He was reading the scriptures. And I want to make a point, if I may. He's reading the scriptures out loud, which is not a bad thing to do. Because he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading, sir?" He said, "How could I, except some man should guide me?" His humble spirit. He was sincere enough to read and study, to make the long trip to Jerusalem, and yet he was lost. He's still lost. His humility was not sufficient to save him. Just because people believe in God and they're humble about things does not mean salvation comes. There is an approved method for salvation, and it's not just sincerity. The fact that he read the Bible, and probably regularly, did not save him. Did not save him. Verse 28, he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah. He needed more than exposure to the scriptures to save him. He had to have the right information at the right time presented in the right way. Let me say that again. He had to have the right information presented at the right time presented in the right way. And when he understood it, he did something about it. He needed more than just exposure to the information. In Acts 26 and verse 9, Paul said something like that. He said, "I verily thought within myself to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus." He was doing religious things, Paul was. Read the story about him. My, he was a very religious fellow. He was hauling Christians, which he thought to be in improper order with the king. He was hauling them in to kill them. Held their cloaks when they're stoned to death. The angel of God did not save the eunuch. The angel appeared to Philip. He had something to do with it, but he didn't actuate the salvation. He appeared to Philip and he said, "I want you to go down to this road that goes to Gaza. It ends up at the desert. There's a man going along there. You take advantage of the situation." I like how he did that. He saw an opportunity there. I would like to find somebody reading and just go up to him and say, can you understand that? We need that. We need that kind of thing. The angel of the Lord did not save him. The angel had a part, but he did not speak directly to the eunuch. He knew about it. In fact, the eunuch never saw anything about the conversion between him and Philip He never saw the angel that was sent. The angel got the preacher and the subject together. Listen to that. The angel got the preacher and the subject together. The subject of the was the sinner. The preacher was the salvation. Acts chapter 10, verse 30. Cornelius saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour, of the angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius, he lodgeth with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. Go, and he will tell thee what thou must do. He didn't tell him what to do. He sent him to the preacher. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We need to understand that the gospel is the power of salvation, and we need to preach it regularly in the way that God had it. The fact that Christ died for him didn't save him by itself. Christ died for everybody. Doesn't mean everybody's saved. Verses 32 through 35, he read of Isaiah 53 and how he died for our sins and how that he alone could have saved us. In verse 35, he came and preached unto him Jesus. He took, that ought to tell you what Isaiah 35 is talking about, isn't it? He says he began the same passage and preached unto him Jesus. John 12, verse 42, nevertheless, many among the chief rulers also believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Many people never obey the gospel who believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God because they don't want the pressure. But it won't save them just because they're sympathetic to it. Faith only did not save the eunuch. Faith only never saved anybody. Verse 36, he asked to be baptized. He understood that his faith was now going to be manifested by his obedience. Faith does not save a man by itself. No matter what religious group says it, no matter how articulately they say it, no matter how many times they say it, faith alone never saved anybody. It's never done that. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Listen to that passage. Don't just take it for granted. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not just he that believeth. Nowhere in the Bible is that said, and it didn't say the eunuch. In Acts 11, verse 14, Paul was told, he will tell thee words whereby thou must be saved. Cornelius, now send to Joppa. Call for one Simon, whose name is Peter. He lodgeth with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. That's salvation. He will tell you what you ought to do. He'll tell you, if you when you believe, he'll tell you what you need to do about that belief. He'll tell you when you repent what you need to do about your repentance. It doesn't do it by itself. It's a process, ladies and gentlemen. It works together. He was not saved by sprinkling. You can sprinkle people until they're raw, and you're not going to save anybody. I don't mean to be unkind. And if you were saved as a baby, I'm sorry. That was not the baptism of Jesus Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth. Little children don't believe in Jesus Christ. They can't repent of their sins. They can't confess their faith. The eunuch was not saved that way. He told him that he'll tell thee words whereby thee and all thy house shall be saved. Faith only? No, sir. No, sir. It does not work. He wasn't saved by sprinkling. They went down both into the water with Philip and the eunuch. It's significant that they both went down into the water. You can't baptize somebody standing outside. You have to have a plunging to take place. They came up out of the water, verse 39. Acts 22:16. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's salvation. Well, talk for a few minutes with me about what did save the eunuch. And bear in mind, the angel didn't save him. His faith didn't save him. His reading the Bible didn't save him. His religion didn't save him. He had to turn to God to be saved. And that's what you have to do. I said you have to turn to God to be saved. I said you have to turn to God to be saved. If you don't do that, You won't hear what he said. You turn to him and listen to him. So the things that did save him. He was saved by the grace of God. The Lord saved him by his grace by sending the angel and giving Christ by sending the preacher. God saves us with his process. He sent the angel, and the angel did his work. The angel told Philip where to go. He sent Philip. Philip did his work. He told him where to go. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He served Christ, and the preacher was sent, and he preached the word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He preached unto him Jesus, that whosoever believeth on him, that's a eunuch too, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that includes the eunuch, and it includes me and you, he will save us by his grace. Our grace, the grace of God, is a magnificent thought, bigger than I can express. It's God's attitude toward man, no matter what his condition is. It's a huge thing, the grace of God. It's a marvelous thing. It results in his mercy, which results in giving man information about how to be saved. Romans 5 and verse 6, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, praise God for that fact. What a marvelous statement. When we were yet without strength, we had no way to save ourselves. God's grace came into the picture. And in due time, the grace was manifested and personified. Use that word seriously. He was personified in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherein he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Look at that passage, it's pregnant with significance. Listen to it again. God is rich in mercy. It's boundless mercy that he has. God is rich in his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That puts it all together. God saves us, but he does it in his way. And he changes man is what he does. The gospel saved him by informing him that what was necessary for salvation. A person can't be saved without doing what God says to do. That's just absolutely essential. Go and preach the gospel. That's a word at a time. That's a sentence at a time. It's a paragraph at a time. It's a page at a time. It's a chapter at a time. It's a book at a time. God tells us what to do in words. All scripture is inspired of God. God breathed. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be completely furnished unto every good work. When you begin to preach the gospel, you're thoroughly furnished to every good work if you listen to what God has breathed with his own mouth through his saints. So we have the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it, Paul said. Power of God to salvation. Paul said to the Thessalonians, one of my favorite passages, but we are bound to give thanks to God for you always, brethren, beloved in the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. That's the grace of God. He chose people to salvation, chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen how he said that. He said, God hath from the beginning chosen you. How did he choose you? He chose the people that chose to be chosen. Could I say that again? He chose the people that chose to be chosen by him, whereunto he called you by our gospel. That's how he chooses you. He's chosen certain people to be saved that way. I predestinated secretary, if I put the requirements for secretary work in some kind of form and say you have to take so many words a minute, have to know about how to file things, and have to do this and do that and do the other. I predestinate. God predestinated Christians. It's the ones that obey him. It's the ones that hear and obey and do what they're supposed to do. His faith saved him because it led to obedience. Faith saves, leading to obedience. Mark 16, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Nobody's going to be baptized who doesn't believe first. And he that believeth not and is not baptized shall not be saved. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoso cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We leave that out so often. Listen to it. He is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the eunuch was saved because he came and listened to the word of God, and that led him to be obeyed. His obedience saved him. Chapter 30, verse 37. Hebrews 5 and verses 8 and 9. Beautiful passage. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, complete, total, the righteous salvation predicate, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. That's the only ones that are going to be saved. All of them that obey him. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Then I come to the salty part. Baptism saved him. Being a part of the sermon. Acts 22:16. Paul was told, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Acts 8:12. When they believed Philip concerning the preaching of the things of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They heard, they believed, and did what they should. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now save us. You can't be saved without being baptized into Christ. I don't care who you are. I don't care who says otherwise. Shoot me in the head for saying it, I must say it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's just an irrefutable, indomitable fact. It's not going to change. And if you haven't been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, if you don't believe that he's the Christ, the Son of God, you have not been saved. If you've just been sprinkled, you have not been saved. If you went to the mourner's bench, you have not been saved. These things never saved anybody. Quickly now. Faith changes a man's intelligence. The presentation of the gospel is what Jesus Christ is all about. When you present the gospel, you present Jesus Christ, his life, his miracles, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That produces faith in the heart of the sinner. They believe that Christ is the Son of God, that he died for them. That's what happened to the eunuch. Then there's something that necessarily follows that. First thing you know, you have some godly sorrow. You feel sorry about your sins. You feel sorry for where you are. You're convicted. Repentance changes a man's will with regard to sin. He says, I will no longer live here this way. I will change and go with God. He's going to ask what to do next. On the first Pentecost following the resurrection of Christ, Peter said, when the people asked him, what must I do? Repent and be baptized. You can't be baptized if you didn't repent. Repent and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. You can call on him if you've done what he said to do, because he'll make you a saved person. Confession changes a man's allegiance. It's a new pledge of allegiance. You say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 6. And baptism changes a man's conscience. You cannot have the freedom of an accusatory conscience without being baptized. It doesn't happen on faith. It doesn't happen on repentance. It doesn't happen on confession. But it takes all those things to get you to the fact of baptism. When you come up out of the water, you may rejoice because every sin you've ever committed in all your life has been forgiven. Oh, glorious thought. Oh, wonderful procedure. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism. What saved the eunuch? That did it. That's my sermon. Have you done that? If not, why not? Look in the Bible. If I'm wrong about that, come talk to me. If there's something I'm missing, come and tell me what it is. Otherwise, do something about your present state of affairs. Get your life right with God. Come and confess your faith in Christ. Go down to the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. You'll leave this place the happiest person on the universe. Thank you for listening. Come if you will, while we stand and sing.